The Democrat Party has become too extreme to be trusted with power. Their radical policies are a danger to your family and to your country.
I think they're lousy politicians. But two things they have. They're vicious and they stick together. They don't have Mitt Romney in their midst. They don't have people like that. They stick together. You never see them break off.
How dare you?
Oh, my. President Trump being rather direct about the Democrats. A couple of clips from statements in the past. And he's right. Which is why we can't let them have power and control. Good morning. Welcome to this midweek edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Hi there, Mark Congleton, your sometimes humble host here, driving the big bus down the crazy avenues of America, looking at the news and other things as we move forward for a Wednesday. It is Wednesday, the 6th day of November 2019, as we record and as we go live on Facebook. And if you've missed the Facebook Live, let me encourage you to swing on over there. This is live at 9 o'clock, 8 o'clock Central, Monday through Friday mornings on Facebook Live. Just search for the Daily Perspective Podcast, and you'll find the page. And if you like it and follow it, you will get a little notice when we start going live. And usually, that's about 5 minutes or so before the top of the hour. There's some music that plays and a little slide that's up there just to let you know, hey, the podcast is coming. So, wait a minute. Hang on. I just moved over to change slides. I wanted to change over to, there's that one, the flag. And I got a pop-up that was notifying me of something that was bad. So, okay, that's fixed. Hello. Nothing like fixing problems on the fly. Well, what do we have to talk about today? Well, for one thing, Kanye West's album Jesus is King is now the number one album in the United States of America. It's number one. Every song on the album is also now in the Billboard Top 100. This is an astounding accomplishment. And there's a lot of chatter about Kanye, about his album, and amongst more religious people, there is questioning, there is doubt, there is, you know, there's a lot of discussion, a lot of speculation, because people, regardless of their backgrounds and where they love to hang out, people love to speculate. They love to blow smoke about things they don't know anything about. And to wonder and to question, and you know how that goes. You see it every day in the mainstream press. They speculate constantly. Constantly about everything that goes on. But Kanye's making inroads. And he's saying things that should have Christian people smiling. And people are curious. And in his most recent Sunday service, I say that in quotes, that's what he calls it, the Sunday service, he had about 1,000 people make commitments to Christ. So it's a big thing. Something is happening. There are those who are calling it the Third Great Awakening. I don't know if I'd go that far, but we'll see. And you know, that's kind of my attitude about everything is, okay, we'll see. It's best to step back and watch things develop so we can get a clearer picture of what things really are. Because up front, in the splash, it's very hard to get a real idea of what's really going on. In politics, in the entertainment industry, in sports, in pretty much all aspects of life, the big splash at the beginning very rarely tells you how things really, really are. So I prefer to step back and let things develop, and we'll see how things pan out. I'm happy for Kanye. I'm happy that he's made a change in his life. He's picked up his family and moved away from Los Angeles. I think he's in Montana now. He's stepped away from the cesspool that is the industry that he has been in for all these years, and he's decided on a different direction. And that is what Christianity really is all about. It's changing the way you think, changing the way you see the world, and changing the way your life operates. That is the definition of repentance, by the way. Repenting is changing the way you think and embracing a new way to think and a new way to live. And apparently, that's what's happened to Kanye. As I said, we'll see. What else is there? Another one bites the dust. Julian Castro is laying off staff in primary states amid his campaign struggles. Yep. New Hampshire and South Carolina staff are being laid off. He's shifting the focus of his bid for the 2020 Democratic presidential nomination to Iowa and Nevada. This is coming to us according to Politico. Castro reportedly can no longer afford a significant presence in early primary states and notified his New Hampshire and South Carolina teams they would no longer be needed. Did that yesterday morning. Politico's source told the Washington, D.C.-based outlet that the campaign will continue focusing on Iowa and Nevada with a $50,000 television ad buy in Iowa beginning yesterday morning. The moves amount to a long-shot attempt to remain in the presidential contest in the hopes of catching fire before the first contest begin next February. It's not a very likely scenario. Although Castro has been instrumental in shaping the policy debate among the 2020 Democratic presidential candidates, according to Politico, he's failed to capture the imagination of Democratic voters, and according to the pollsters at 538, he's never been able to clear 1% in any meaningful national poll. Interesting. They say he's been instrumental in shaping the policy debate. I don't understand how that can be if he is only appealing to less than 1% of the population. So that obviously is a political claim. That's a campaign claim. We've been instrumental in shaping the policy debate. Yeah, sure you have. You've influenced less than 1% of the people. That's instrumental. Castro wasn't even registering in New Hampshire polls. Was it 1% in South Carolina? That's according to the most recent data. He's in at 1% in Iowa, 1% in Nevada. Oh, that's what you want to do. You want to go in at 1% and throw $50,000 in an ad campaign, $50,000 in an ad campaign, which, by the way, in the big picture of politics is not much money. You want to throw all that money at an ad campaign when you're at 1%. Because, doggone it, if you're at 1%, you can win. You know, these people at the bottom of the stack on the Democrat campaign right now, all of these people vying for the candidacy, these people that are down at 1%, 2%, 3%, they remind me of chihuahuas. You know, they just grab onto something, snarl, growl, drool all over the floor. Their eyes bug out of their heads. They adopt a threatening stance, and everybody just laughs because they're not giving up, doggone it. No, we're throwing $50,000 at an ad campaign. We're going to win. We're at 1%. We're on our way to victory. Yeah, that's what Beto O'Rourke said. What's he doing now, selling tacos? This is ludicrous. It's absolutely ludicrous. There is a tiny handful of people who have a realistic option, a realistic chance of becoming the nominee for the Democrats. There's two or three people. There's Biden. There's creepy Uncle Joe, he's got the chance. There's Elizabeth Warren, and there's Bernie Sanders. Those three people are the ones who actually have a chance. Those three. It really is. Everybody else should just go ahead and pack it away and go home. They should start cutting their staffs. They should go ahead and bow out gracefully and just let those three duke it out until things get serious early next year. Because the rest of these people, honestly, can we have a show of hands? Who ever heard of Julian Castro before he entered the race? I see two. So that's it. That's the way this is. And the rest of these people, I kind of heard of them because they won the national media. They said something about them when they were elected. We heard about them when they entered the race. So, yeah, you've heard about them in that context. But in the bigger picture, no. No, 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 no. These people are just unknowns. They They're just there to fill all the nooks and crannies in the car, in the clown car, that still have air in them. That's what they're for. It's just a matter of time before before it all narrows down to just these three people. It really is. And that's what it's all going to come down to. And when you look at those three people, you look at creepy Uncle Joe, and honestly, it's just sad. Every time I see the man on the news now, it's just sad. He's putting up a gallant fight, a valiant effort, but it's just sad. The man doesn't have a chance. He's just, America is not going to stand behind this guy. He's just sad. It's just pitiful to watch him perform. It really is. And when you think about, just a matter of 5 or 6 years ago, he was actually a contender. He actually had some weight. He actually could throw the punch, so to speak. And today, if he throws the punch, he falls down. I mean, the man walked around a stage the other night. He turned around and talked to the big screen at the back of the stage. He didn't look at the audience for like the first 18 seconds he was on the stage. He was walking around in circles. I mean, he was the homing pigeon who couldn't find his way home. God love him. And that's who they're hanging their hopes on? Oh, good Lord. And then Bernie Sanders. The country is not going to vote for a guy who spent his honeymoon in Soviet Russia. They're just not going to do it. They're not going to vote for a man who is clearly lying about his socialist intent. They're not going to vote for a man who just can't put two and two together and come up with anything but massive millions for government. The guy is an idiot, but he keeps being reelected on his home level, which just means people are comfortable with who's there and they don't know the other people. And they're uncomfortable with change. Bernie is making propositions that have never worked anywhere in the world they've been tried. And he keeps lying about their success. Nobody's going to vote for him. And then there's Elizabeth Warren. Bless her heart. She lied for ages about her heritage. She lied about being Native American. And when it came down to the wire and she finally submitted to a test, a DNA exam, she was 1,024th Native American. Can I just say this? My dog is more Native American than Elizabeth Warren. I'm probably more Native American than Elizabeth Warren. And she lied to us about that for all this time. She lied, and she's lied about the reason that she's had relatives, was it parents or grandparents, that she said had to run off and get married because she was Native American. It was a lie. It was a monumental lie. It's been debunked again and again and again, and they keep rolling it out again and again and again. She keeps lying to the country about everything. And most recently, she said her Medicare for All plan would be paid for by billionaires, that the middle class would not be touched. No taxes would be raised on the middle class to pay for her $52 trillion Medicare for All plan. And some people sat down with their calculators and Google and did a little research and found out that all of the billionaires in America are worth about $9 trillion. You combine all of their assets, everything they own, everything, they're worth about $9 trillion. How are they going to pay for a $52 trillion plan over 10 years? They're not. And that's what would happen if she was elected. She would do her best to enact her program, and if, by some stretch of the most insane imagination, it actually came to pass that her Medicare for All plan was enacted, she would come to the American people and say, I've worked hard to make this happen, but we're going to have to all come together and sacrifice for the mutual good of the nation to make sure everybody is covered. So we're going to have to moderately raise your taxes. just a little bit, and then she'll blow some smoke about how it's going to save you money in the long run because you won't be paying for insurance anymore. Yes, you will. You'll be paying through the nose for insurance in the form of taxation. This is how politicians operate. They lie to you. They make big promises. And then when those promises fail, they blame everyone else for what went wrong. When smart people, truly intelligent people up front said, this will never work. And here's why. And they spell it out. Bless our hearts. So the clown car is a little smaller today. Or it's about to be a little smaller. Oh, okay, everybody. On your feet. Let's dance. Come on. Yeah. Yeah, Facebook is going to clamp down on this one. By the way, if you were hoping to see this, to watch the podcast again later today, it's not going to happen. I played too much of the song. It is a midweek edition of the Daily Perspective podcast. Hi, how you doing? Hope you're doing well. Oh, man. Thank you so much for being there, wherever there may be, and whenever you may be listening. I really do appreciate it. I honestly do. I know I say the same thing almost every day, but the thing is, I really appreciate you being there. Otherwise, it would be just me sitting in my studio talking to my dog, and that would mean I need my meds checked. Well, big in the news right now, I mean big in the news right now, is that ABC anchor Amy Robach, on a hot mic, claimed that she had Jeffrey Epstein stories, the Jeffrey Epstein story, 3 years ago, and the network killed it. Now, by now, I hope you have watched the Project Veritas video that was released yesterday. I told you about this yesterday during the podcast, that while I was recording, that video was released. And I right after the podcast, I said I was going to do this. I sat down and I watched the video. And it is a shocker. It is really something. This is not your typical concealed camera, hard to understand subtitled video that you see from people who are doing undercover whistleblower work. This is actual on camera video during a break where Amy Robach is talking about how she had all of this information. It was all there. They had it all. They had actually corroborated things. They had a witness. They had photographs. They had all of the material they needed, and ABC wouldn't run on it. This was 3 years ago. We'll come back to that. Over at PJ Media, the story says, say what you want about James O'Keefe, but he gets stories nobody else does. He exposes truths a lot of people would prefer to keep hidden. And this one is a doozy. Newly revealed footage leaked by an ABC insider has exposed how network executives rejected allegations against Jeffrey Epstein years ago, even though there was content regarding the merit of those claims in hand. Amy Robach, Good Morning America co-host and breaking news anchor at ABC, explains how a witness came forward years ago with information pertaining to Epstein, but ABC News refused to air the material for years. She said, I've had the story for 3 years. I've had this interview with Virginia Roberts. We would not put it on the air. First of all, I was told, who is Jeffrey Epstein? No one knows who that is. This is a stupid story. Then the palace found out that we had her whole allegations about Prince Andrew and threatened us a million different ways. We were so afraid we wouldn't be able to interview Kate and Will. That also quashed the story. And then Alan Dershowitz was also implicated in it because of the planes. She told me everything. She had pictures. She had everything. She was in hiding for 12 years. We convinced her to come out. We convinced her to talk to us. It was unbelievable what we had. Clinton, we had everything. I tried for 3 years to get it on to no avail. And now it's all coming out, and it's like these new revelations, and I freaking had all of it. I'm so pissed right now. Like, every day I get more and more pissed because I'm just like, oh my God, what we had was unreal. Other women backing it up. Brad Edwards, the attorney, 3 years ago saying, like, there will come a day, but we realize Jeffrey Epstein was the most prolific pedophile this country has ever known. I had it all 3 years ago. If it's true, it's huge. How different would things be right now if all that stuff came out 3 years ago? And if she really does have the goods on Bill Clinton and the British royal family? This is the part where the lefties will try to shut down the story because O'Keefe does selective editing. There are no cuts in the footage. It's just Robach venting to somebody about a story she had that her bosses wouldn't run. If she's lying, if she's making the whole thing up, why? We now know that NBC News tried to keep Ronan Farrow from telling the truth about Harvey Weinstein. And according to Amy Robach, ABC News kept her from telling the truth about Jeffrey Epstein. What else are they hiding from us? Who else are they protecting? Now, ABC has responded. This is a statement that ABC has issued from Amy Robach. As a journalist, as the Epstein story continued to unfold last summer, I was caught in a private moment of frustration. I was upset that an important interview I had conducted with Virginia Roberts didn't air because we could not obtain sufficient corroborating evidence to meet ABC's editorial standards about her allegations. My comments about Prince Andrew and her allegation that she had seen Bill Clinton on Epstein's private island were in reference to what Virginia Roberts said in that interview in 2015. I was referencing her allegations, not what ABC News had verified, though through our reporting. The interview itself, while I was disappointed it didn't air, didn't meet our standards. In the years since, no one ever told me or the team to stop reporting on Jeffrey Epstein, and we have continued to aggressively pursue this important story. Now, you just heard when I read her quote from before, you just heard her say the exact opposite thing. So, was she lying then? Or is she lying now? Was she more likely to tell the truth in private during her little venting of frustrations? Or less then? She also said, this is coming from James O'Keefe. This is a quote of part of what she said. Do I think he, Epstein, was killed? 100% I do. He made his whole living blackmailing people. There were a lot of men on those planes, a lot of men who visited that island, a lot of powerful men who came to that apartment. So an ABC News breaking news anchor, venting her frustrations during a break, as tape rolled, has let us know that 3 years ago, she had the goods. She had corroborating witnesses. She had photographs. She had everything. But now she says that's not true. For ABC's part, they're saying it's an ongoing story, and we'll see more about it in the new year. Let's remember something. This is the network that ran uncorroborated Kavanaugh accusations. Remember the Brett Kavanaugh situation? Remember the accusers that came forth with no corroboration? ABC didn't hesitate running that. And more recently, ABC also ran with video footage of a gun range and claimed it was an attack in the Middle East, a Syrian attack. I said something, I mentioned that I'd come back to this being 3 years ago. What was happening 3 years ago? 2019, 18, 17, 16. Oh yeah, a presidential election was happening. And who was running? The man who is currently our president, Donald Trump, and Hillary Rodham Clinton. It looks like ABC News was protecting Hillary Clinton by not running this story. It looks like they were in the tank for Hillary and knew that this would torpedo her in a major way if her husband Bill was associated with Jeffrey Epstein. And it was revealed that Bill had multiple encounters with underage girls because of this relationship with Epstein. So it really does look like ABC News was protecting the Clinton presidential campaign. Look at it this way. If you replace Clinton with Trump, ABC News would have hired an entire division of investigative journalists to dig up everything they could find. If this story had been about Donald Trump, it would have been everywhere you looked 3 years ago. You would not have been able to get away from this story 3 years ago if it had been about Donald Trump. But because the name Clinton was involved, it was buried and you never heard about it. This is The Daily Perspective. Hi there. Good to have you along today. Mark Congleton here. Sitting behind the big black microphone in the studio, listening to his dog gently snore in the background to the tune of Billie Jean by Michael Jackson. It is a Wednesday edition of the podcast. Good to have you along today. I have to go back to what I just said before the break, and that is that if you replace the Clinton name with Trump, that story would have been all over the news 3 years ago. They would have done everything they could have to make it the biggest story on the planet. But because a Clinton was implicated, they tanked it. They torpedoed it. They buried it. And that's something that we need to remember. The mainstream news media, the progressive press, is not interested in the truth. They're interested in the progressive cause. So they're not going to tell you what's really going on if it goes against the grain of the cause. If it contradicts the narrative that they have put in place, they will ignore it. And that is why I tell you every day to look beyond the mainstream press for your information. Because they, A, are ignoring things you need to know, and B, they're lying to you about things you need to know. Look for other sources. Find alternative media. There's a lot out there. I post show notes every day. I make sure that the links to the stories that I reference, like that last one from PJ Media. I've got another one coming up from PJ Media. There was one from Daily Wire. I'll have one from Breitbart here in a little while. You need to look at these other sources. The other day I gave you a great source, and that is. trend.gab.com. Hang on here. I'm going to pull back up over here. It is trends, trends.gab.com. trends.gab.com. The people behind the Gab social media network, which the left, by the way, absolutely hates and has lied about again and again and again, saying that it's the home of white supremacists and the like, and giving it a bad name. It's basically, it's just, it's a First Amendment site. It just is a place where you can say what you think. And if you break the law, they stop you. Unlike Twitter and Facebook and other places, which will stop you if they just don't like what you said. So if you tell the truth, and we're seeing this happen more and more and more, by the way, for example, on YouTube, we're seeing people who simply tell the truth shut down. Their channels completely shut down, demonetized. They can't make a living anymore because they don't agree with the narrative that the progressives want to push. Back to trends, trends.gab.com. It is, it's a news aggregation is what it is. And the thing is that the stories on it are not determined by some editor. The stories on it are determined by what the people are talking about on the web today. The people, what people are interested in and what they're talking about with their friends, what they're passing around. Hence the name trends.gab.com, Gab Trends. Give it a look today. Take a look at it. I think you'll understand what I'm talking about. It looks almost exactly like the Drudge Report, but it's come up because Matt Drudge, for some reason we don't understand, has become a Never Trumper. And his site has become the home for Never Trump stories. If you're looking for an alternative, this is the place. It's one of a handful, but I think this is the one that's doing the best job. That's another source. That's why I explained to you it's so important to find other sources of news. Now, just so you understand, there are sources like ABC News, Fox News, the BBC, Zero Hedge, RT, Summit News, the Washington Examiner, the New York Post, the Daily Beast, the Telegraph, Welt, if you read German, Gateway Pundit, Reason, The Sun, Wayne Dupree, the Epoch Times, the Associated Press, the Wall Street Journal. It is a wide variety of sources, stories that you can go look at and see what's actually trending, what's happening right now. I source it every day. I look at it every day because I'm finding it is a better place to find links to stories which are not tilting and swaying and shading the facts. You've got to go find this information for yourself, because if you don't, then all you're getting is what the mainstream progressive press is feeding us. And as I said, they're not telling you about what's really happening if it doesn't fit the narrative. You need to know what's really going on. You probably heard, unless you were under a rock or, you know, had a space mission, you heard about what happened the other day. An American Mormon family was slaughtered in Mexico, and President Trump has vowed to wage war as a result on the drug cartel monsters. A family of Mormons who had lived in a community along the Mexican border for decades was apparently ambushed by members of a drug cartel who massacred 9 women and children. The LeBaron family had lived in this small Mormon community for decades. The family, who are American citizens, are an offshoot of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. Some are speculating that the ambush carried out in broad daylight was a case of mistaken identity. But the LeBarons have a history of opposing the drug trade. 2 family members were murdered a decade ago for opposing the cartels. It seems likely the cartels wanted to drive the family out of Mexico by murdering their women and children. And our president responded strongly to the outrage on Twitter, saying, "A wonderful family and friends from Utah got caught between 2 vicious drug cartels who were shooting at each other, with the result being many great American people killed, including young children and some missing. If Mexico needs or requests help in cleaning out these monsters, the United States stands ready, willing, and able to get involved and do the job quickly and effectively. The great new president of Mexico has made this a big issue, but the cartels have become so large and powerful that you sometimes need an army to defeat an army. This is the time for Mexico, with the help of the United States, to wage war on the drug cartels and wipe them off the face of the earth. We merely await a call from your great new president." Well, the previous Mexican administration of President Enrique Peña Nieto continued a war on the cartels that had been going on for almost a decade, and that only served to increase the bloodshed, and it led to massive corruption of the army, the police, the court system. Hundreds of thousands of civilians have died in the violence from both the cartels and the police. This great new president of Mexico, Andrés Manuel López Obrador, actually announced that the war on the cartels was over and made it clear to Trump that door is shut. He said, according to Fox News, President Andrés Manuel Obrador refused that approach, however, saying at a Tuesday news conference, "The worst thing you can have is war. We declared war and it didn't work. That is not an option." Obrador's policy is described as hugs, not bullets. And the recent capture of one of the notorious El Chapo's sons, who was promptly released by the army when threatened by the cartels, shows just how idiotic his policy is. The DEA captured the drug lord and gave him to the Mexican army. But after the Sinaloa cartel surrounded the town where he was being held and exchanged gunfire with authorities, the army meekly let him go. NBC News reported Mexico's president Friday defended the decision to release Guzman Lopez, saying it saved lives. Quote, "The capture of one criminal cannot be worth more than the lives of people," President Andrés Manuel López Obrador said, according to the Associated Press. "This decision was made to protect citizens. You cannot fight fire with fire." Yeah, you can. Ask any firefighter. López Obrador, a leftist who took office in December, has said the anti-crime approaches of previous governments turned Mexico into a graveyard. Mexican Security Minister Alfonso Durazo, appearing next to the president, said, "We will pacify the country without using violence, without oppressions." Hugs, not bullets. Oh, yeah. Obrador, an avowed far-left socialist, is rightly concerned about civilian lives, but at the rate he's going, there won't be much of a country left for him to govern. The idea that they can pacify the country without using violence is absurd. The notion that war didn't work is loony. The cartels have declared war on the government and decent society. Aren't they worth defending with blood? Trump has the right idea, but short of invasion, there isn't much the U.S. can do except to make sure cartel violence is somehow contained. Parts of our border are already infected, and Americans are dying in gun battles. But until that violence is seen as a bigger threat to the United States as a whole, not much is likely to be done. So the picture is much larger than just the tragedy of these family members being killed. It's much larger than just that one incident. The fact is that this leftist in charge of Mexico right now is doing what leftists always do. They're ignoring the problem. And if you keep eyes on this, if you keep your finger on the pulse of this situation, it won't be long before they will redefine the situation. This issue will have a completely different definition. They will call it something other than what it is. And not too long after that, they will declare that they are succeeding in solving the problem. When in reality, the problem will actually be getting much worse. This is how progressives, leftists, socialists work. This is how they do everything. Remember Broward County, Florida, and the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School massacre, a situation where a sheriff's department and a board of education colluded to ignore the violence and not deal with the misbehavior of students, and then say, because the numbers were changing, they were succeeding. When in reality, it all was just going to hell in a handbasket. And they were lying. Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. I hope you understand how important it is to seek other information sources than the mainstream press. I have personally witnessed what it's like when people don't seek beyond the evening news. Because, I mean, face it, you and I for years would just watch the evening news with our family and assume we were getting, you know, kind of a thumbnail sketch of what was going on in the country. And we were all right with that. Oh, that's cool. But then we started noticing irregularities, discrepancies, and started digging and found out we weren't being told everything at all. And we really, really needed to dig further. And as a result, we started finding out more. And that is when conservative news sources began to explode. I mean, that back in the day, so to speak, we just had to trust what they were telling us. And actually, when Democrats were in charge, they made sure that if anybody disagreed with the narrative, that they would have an opportunity to refute that disagreement. In the broadcast world, you had to provide equal time. And I remember being warned early in my radio career. I remember being warned by a program director about expressing opinions that were conservative or political, because the station would have to provide equal time to someone who would come in and say things on our station which none of us agreed with. But the law stated we had to do that we had to provide a certain segment of our airtime for opposing views. And you may be old enough to remember that happened on television stations as well, that there would be a little time, you'd see a little thing where some talking head who obviously was reading something and reading it badly was sitting in front of a camera refuting something that was said during a newscast or a commentary. This opposing view is presented by so-and-so, blah, 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 blah. It happened on TV every day. It happened in radio. It was called equal time. Well, when that was tossed out, conservative broadcasting exploded. As Rush Limbaugh used to famously say, when people screamed that there should be equal time to oppose the things he was saying, he said, "I am equal time." The left has had a monopoly over information for decades. I am equal time. And he was right. So now you have the option, through the beauty of the internet, and let me pick up my iPhone here, through smartphones, laptops, tablets, and the like, you can access information which gives you a bigger view of the story than you're going to get in the little sound bites and snippets on the evening news. Also, you have to remember that news is not driven by some altruistic ideology. News is not driven by some noble cause. The news media is driven by dollars and cents. It's driven by advertising revenue. And advertising revenue is driven by the number of people watching and or listening. And the number of people watching and or listening is determined by how exciting something is that they're watching or listening to. It determines how many people watch and how long they watch. And those two factors determine what you can charge for your advertising. And so, you look for exciting stories that you can sustain for the longest time possible to keep more people watching and watching for longer, so you can charge more for ads and you can make more money. So the progressive news media is not driven by some noble cause. The progressive news media is driven by, put on your seatbelt, capitalism. The progressive news media is driven by capitalism. And the progressives behind the news media will tell you capitalism is what's wrong with America. It's what's wrong with the world. But they are driven by it. They have all the latest tools. They have all the latest gizmos. They have all the latest everything. All of it generated and created by capitalism. And without capitalism, they would not exist. They aren't driven by the nobility that they claim to be driven by the truth. Because what they're telling you is only a sliver of the truth. Because that sliver of the truth substantiates their narrative. Speaking of a sliver of the truth, that's all we're getting out of Washington, D.C. today. And transcripts from the hearings going on right now are revealing that what they're leaking to the press and what they're talking about when they stand in front of the cameras, the Democrats, I need to say that, what they're telling us is only part of what's going on. And they're only telling us the part that looks good for them. Representative Adam Schiff engaged in a failed attempt to direct Michael McKinley, a former U.S. Top U.S. State Department official, tried to direct him on what to say during his impeachment inquiry deposition behind closed doors. This happened last month. This is according to the transcripts that I referred to. These were released on Monday. It appears that Schiff wanted McKinley to say politics was what drove Secretary of State Mike Pompeo, at the behest of President Donald Trump, to remove former Ukraine Ambassador Marie Yovanovitch from her post. Schiff insinuated that Pompeo had removed Yovanovitch to hide wrongdoing in Ukraine at the hands of the Trump administration. The California Democrat attempted to get McKinley to confirm his innuendo. Such a confirmation would have fueled the Democrats' impeachment agenda. Throughout his testimony, McKinley made it clear he had no direct knowledge of the Ukraine matter that triggered the impeachment probe. He also stressed that he never discussed political issues with Pompeo. Republicans have accused Schiff, the leader of the impeachment inquiry, of coaching witnesses while taking depositions. House impeachment investigators are trying to determine if Trump abused his power by allegedly pressuring his Ukrainian counterpart, Volodymyr Zelensky, to investigate corruption allegations against Joe Biden and his son, Hunter, in exchange for aid during a July 25 call. Trump and Zelensky have denied the accusation. McKinley accused Schiff of mischaracterizing his comments about a conversation he had with Pompeo over his concerns about the lack of support for Yovanovitch after he learned that Trump told Zelensky she was bad news during the call. The top State Department official, who served as a senior advisor to Pompeo until he resigned in October on the 11th, did not learn about the contents of the call until the White House released the transcript on September 24th. McKinley accused Schiff of trying to put words in his mouth while testifying on October 16th. Although McKinley had already explained that he did not receive a direct response from Pompeo when he suggested that the State Department should release a statement in support of Yovanovitch, Schiff continued to pressure him to say what he wanted to hear. And here's part of the transcript. Schiff, can you go back and, as you best can, tell us exactly what you told the secretary? McKinley, I said, are you aware of, I'm sure you're following what's happening. Wouldn't it be good if we put out a statement on Ambassador Yovanovitch? Schiff, when you said, I'm sure you're aware of what's happening, McKinley, that's right. Of course, he said, yeah, you know, it's that kind of exchange. I mean, to formalize it is something more. Schiff, no, I'm not trying to formalize it. I'm just trying to get exactly what was said during the meeting. McKinley sought a statement from the State Department in support of Yovanovitch after she was removed from her post in Ukraine. During her deposition, Yovanovitch explained that Trump pressured the State Department to remove her because he'd lost confidence in her, adding that she was told by a superior that she had done nothing wrong. The president has the right to remove any of his ambassadors. McKinley acknowledges this. On October 11th, McKinley resigned from his post at the State Department over the lack of support for Yovanovitch and concerns about the whistleblower's claim that Trump had politicized aid to Ukraine. The whistleblower's allegations were at the heart of the impeachment inquiry. McKinley wanted the State Department to put out a statement saying clearly that we respect the professionalism, the tenure of Ambassador Yovanovitch in Ukraine. He ultimately dropped his quest for the statement after he learned from Morgan Ortegas, a State Department spokesperson, that Pompeo had decided it was better not to release a statement at the time. Yada, yada, yada. The bottom line is Schiff was trying to nudge him into saying something he wasn't saying. And he has been doing this during these these hearings. And what they will release to the public through the news media is only the parts that they deem will damage the president. So there's a lot going on behind closed doors that fits the progressive profile. Lie, cheat, misdirect, and then repeat. See you tomorrow. God bless. Have a great day. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.